All right, I just wanted to encourage you tonight, this, maybe with a little challenge. This something that God has placed in my heart, and I think it's so relevant. We have our children. Everybody's faced with these incredible things that are happening in our world, and we feel so helpless and unable to do much at times. But behind the scenes is the precious Lord Jesus, who's there to ever comfort us and give us direction and wisdom. So I was thinking about the image of God and how we've been created in it, and how that is under such attack today. But Genesis 1, 27, 28 in the ESV says this: "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And then it says, "Subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So God's intention here, and sometimes we wonder what is the image of God. It's been debated in all kinds of theological circles for years, but I want to simplify it a little bit tonight so that we can understand just a little bit of what it means to subdue and to have dominion over everything that God's created. There's three different things, and these aren't original, but it says, number one, we have been designed for relationship. That's exactly one of the images, the things about the image of God. God communicated with Adam in the garden and then created Eve, and God has always desired and delights in this relationship that we have with him. And he desires that for all of us. And that's not so characteristic in any of the animal kingdom, except with man. So secondly, we are created to take all that has been created and create from what's been created things that are just brings glory to God. Now, Pastor Jerry and I were listening a couple nights ago. We were listening to some incredible guitar music that, you know, you just sit there and you say, how in the world did that person ever make the sound come out of that wooden piece of, you know, wooden instrument? And I mean the skill, the technique, the understanding of the preciseness of the sound and everything and all of that. The only people on the only creation on the earth that can do that is you and I. In the area of mathematics, I'm limited in that capacity. But some people, we were talking with Menzo today, some people have a capacity to understand the literal depths of mathematical equations and stuff, which they are able to communicate it in terms and in a way that we don't even understand what they're talking about. I mean, I can't even comprehend it. You know, I mean, trigonometry was always a problem with me and all the different things that are related to it. But you know what? Every time, even people who are the deepest of mathematicians, the deepest of those who are able to accomplish in music and so forth, those that are able to deal with and create beautiful pieces of art. I was blessed, I don't know why, but I when I was in Russia in the summer palace of the Tsar, are all these paintings, and I saw the Van Gogh paintings. I saw some of the greatest paintings of all, because they've all covered them now, but literally from here to that, I was able to see the beauty of somebody that was able to see stuff that maybe I couldn't see, that was all there. And everything like that, from math to art to music to whatever, there's always, when you go to the deepest part of it, you find out that there's such an order and a communication from God about the fact that he has designed it. It's like a surprise to us. But for those who dig into it, they see the design of God. Thirdly, there's we are eternal. The thing is, our beings will forever be forever. And we had a beginning, but we'll never have an ending. For those that are saved and those that are unsaved. The unsaved will spend a Christless eternity because they committed one unpardonable sin, and that was to reject Christ. But the rest of us who know Christ, God says, for eternity, as far as you can imagine in your mind's concept of time, you are created for eternal purpose, which is mind-boggling. So when we look at the image of God, we see that those just a few areas like that, it's just unfathomable what is possible. David said in Psalm 139, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully created. He says, I can't believe in the darkness of my mother's womb, and before I was born, God knew who I was and formed me and made me who I am. He says, you know, you have the greatest plumbing system, the greatest electrical system. We have all the biggest computer. All computers were created by minds. In spite of AI trying to claim that they can create stuff, they can't create the human mind and the capacity there. So that's why, we understand a little bit of the image of God in Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2, where it speaks about the fact that the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, and in them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. So, as we think about that briefly, now I want to just touch on a couple things. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, we find about the fact of who Jesus is and the image that he created in us. And it says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Then, since we're in the process, what is the image of God in us? What does God say about that image that's in us? Well, in Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10, that was prior to what we discussed Sunday morning, but it says, since we're in the process of this, we're in the process of renewing the image that God created in Christ. This it says this, but now you yourselves are to put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who was renewed in knowledge according to the image of who created him. So, we image the image of God. That's what we do. We image the image of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, in their case, the God of this world blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of Christ. So, this image, he describes what it does. What do we do? What do we do as reflecting the image of God? In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, it says, but God, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphant procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, the fragrance of death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? So you and I, as believers, we just bring this fragrance to people of God that no one else can do. So this image in us, which is energized by the presence of Jesus Christ, makes us literally able to bring people and draw them to Him. This is our purpose for that there. So he speaks also of what God expects. And this is where I wanted to kind of dwell a little bit tonight here. It says, Paul speaks of what God expects. And we find that in Romans chapter, the last chapter, in chapter 16, verse 19, it says this, "For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you." He says, "But I want you to be wise as to what is good, and to be innocent as to what is evil." Wise to what is good, and innocent to what is evil. Now, of course, Pastor Jerry mentioned this Sunday morning, but in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, in the New Living Translation, when it comes to what is good, wise to what is good, "Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about those things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me, saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you." So everything that God says is just lay aside things that do not stimulate you to think about God. And this is an ongoing process. Every one of us live in this world with all of its darkness and its demonic deception and all of its voices and all these things. So I have to predetermine, as Paul says, to really guard my thinking and make my thoughts be aligned with that. And then he goes on, he says, "Then I want you to be innocent to what is evil." Now, that's what does it mean by that? It means that the less I know about this world and its plans and its thought patterns and stuff, the more I'm going to be free to think positively with Him. So, for example, there's the Greek word ekakos is the word for innocent. It means guileless or not bad. TV, Facebook, all the social medias, books, movies, everything is just permeated with all kinds of things that have an ending. They end up in hell. They do not produce eternal things. They don't produce anything worthwhile. So I have to guard my mind in what I think and what I hear on TV, what I see, what I read, the movies, everything. Because 2 Corinthians 10, verse 9, verse 5 says this, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now, we're just living as human beings in this world filled, that's just wants every, the devil wants everything he can do to destroy our effectiveness so that the image of God is hidden. God told even Jeremiah back in, it's kind of cute, God told Jeremiah back in chapter 4, verse 22, in the King James it says, "Well, my people is foolish. They've not known me. They're sottish children. And they have none understanding. They're wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Now that word sottish is an old English word, which basically means they're stupid children. They just basically have no understanding. And when we look at that, we see that, what is it? Is there examples for that? Well, here's an unbelievable example. Here Joshua led the generation through the wilderness with Moses, and then he led them into the promised land. They're in the promised land. They divide up the land as God promised them. Everybody had their own place. It was God's provision for them. And then the last chapter of Joshua, we find Joshua says, I want to talk to you people. He says, I want you to know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's all I care about. That's all I want. And it says the generation that was with Joshua all stood and affirmed the same thing. They said, we're going to stand for God. We're going to stay with God with all of our hearts. So it says in Judges chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and when that generation died, after Joshua died, and all the generation that was with him died, it says the next generation that was raised up, they forsook God. It says, and they turned to the Baals. They did everything that they're doing today. The Baal worship was unbelievable. It's so indescribable, some of the stuff that went on. But it happened, and then they went through the whole thing where God crushed them, took away the land for their possession, they brought them under terrible servitude until they cried out to God, and God had mercy and came to them and restored them. They repented, and God restored them. 6 times. In the book of Judges, they did the same thing. The next generation forgets everything, goes on. So when God says this, it's so important for us to think, and I could just list all kinds of stuff that's going on, but you know most of it. But you always want to remember there are 2 X chromosomes in a male, and there's 1 X and 1 Y in a female. That'll never change. In spite of all the transgenderism and all the foolishness, there's 65 so-called different gender options that you can have. All it is pure psychological crap, and it's literally deliberately to mock God. That's all that's going on. Their desire is to participate, for everyone to participate in their delusion. And that's why the force with all the woke stuff, and I mean, it's coming to Seneca Falls if it hasn't already been here. It's all over the place, everywhere. The mutilation of sexual organs, tattoos totally covering bodies. I mean, so you can't even see. It's like totally to mock God and shake their hand. The devil says, this is my chance. I'm going to do just exactly what we find here that happens when in Isaiah 6:14 verses 12 through 17, it says this. And this is, I read this the other day and I thought, boy, how accurate this is. How have you fallen, from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You've weakened the nations. You've said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I'll be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities? Who didn't open the house of his prisoners? God called his number here, and we find in Isaiah explaining. Then he goes on in Jeremiah 28, and I just thought how applicable for our day. It says, and he's addressing the Prince of Tyre, but it has application to the devil. He says, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seats of God, in the midst of the seas, yet are a man and not a god. Though you set your heart as a heart of a god, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you've gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. But your great wisdom, by your great wisdom, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you've set your heart as a heart of a god, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of the nations. They will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. You know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it speaks about the fact that the spirit of lawlessness, born in every man, woman, and child is a moral fiber. That's what Paul spoke about clearly in Romans 1 through 3, that everybody has written on their hearts this law. Laws about you have to honor this things that you don't need. The Bible didn't even teach them. It was engraved there by God. The devil says, I'm going to challenge all those laws that are written in your heart and change them. And we're going to create a whole new system, a whole new world with all new laws. That's exactly the spirit of lawlessness. And that's exactly what's happening now. But the thing is, God says this, and I'll just conclude with this. If there's any question, whatever, just it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, and I just encourage us all tonight. This wonderful church that you have, and what you're doing in this community, it matters. It matters with God. The devil can try all these things, but we are the force that holds back complete and control of the devil in its entirety. We're going to be number one objects of his wrath and his consideration as time goes on. It'll be more and more. It's about Christians because they hold true to the God of heaven who's created the laws that are written in our hearts. It says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's after the most powerful declaration Paul gave. It 1 Corinthians 15 could be considered one of the greatest creeds within the Christian church because it honors Jesus, the God-man, the Bible, the Word of God is the foundation, the fact of the resurrection, and that we're all going to participate in it. So God says, listen, I realize it's bad, but remember, God has not changed. He wants us to keep pressing on. And I'm just so blessed. You have such teachers and leaders in your midst, and men and women of God that have been through so many things, that are convicted and convinced to continue to teach the gospel, teach the Word of God, and to help people find peace and happiness in this world. And that, God says, you know what? I was sharing last night with Pastor Jerry, Malachi 3:16. It says, and when they talked and they spoke about God, God listened, and he had a book of remembrance, and he wrote down every occasion. This is being written down tonight. Every time we gather, we talk about Jesus. Every time we talk about about God's favor and everything, it's being written down. It's recorded. It'll never be forgotten so that when the books are opened, we will be rewarded because of the area of faithfulness in those areas. So, Father, thank you so much for each one. Bless now. Thank you so much for this precious church. Father, just give us wisdom to be wise concerning that is good, and innocent concerning that that is evil. Help us, Father, not to be a sottish, a stupid people that get deceived into believing things. And we've all been in those cases before. But God, just give us courage and to be strong in you, to humble ourselves, stay away from things that would destroy our soul, so that we'd be focused on the end game. And God, thank you for Jesus tonight, in his name, amen.